broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. All the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. Live on in all the better parts of me, until I'm standing with you in the sun. I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run, until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. And all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
Sometimes I wonder, is he faithful? Does he see me in my trouble? Does he understand? Sometimes I question if he's able. Can he rescue? Can he save me again and again? But when I look back, did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Sometimes those voices try to tell me I'm forgotten and I'm falling too far from his hands. But I know what kind of God he is, and I'm trusting in his promises. I'm believing and I'm singing, yes, he can.
good that we remind ourselves of this.
Come time to start our service this morning. Let me say that we appreciate you coming out and celebrating Memorial Day weekend with us and worshiping here this morning. And it's Youth Sunday, and so the youth are going to come in just a few minutes and lead us into worship. And then Brother Dave Toler is going to come and minister to us this morning. Him and Teresa just, we were going to do it last week, and they hung around in Tennessee, which was fine, and visited with his son down there, and so they were going to be back this Sunday, and so we got them cake. How many ate the cake last week? We get to eat cake again this week. Y'all see why I love this church? Like, we find something to eat cake for, you know what I'm saying? Like, has anybody got anything going on next week? Come on, anybody's aunt born next week sometime, or give me a reason. I dare you to give me a reason to have cake here. So we're going to celebrate them. We're kidding about that, because Dave and Teresa's earned that piece of cake when they eat that one. That's a big deal, and we'll talk about that a little bit more at the close of the service probably. But to be able to do that, and 9 months of testing and going through things, and now he's set up to be able to take his ordained minister's test. We went down to Cleveland Church of God, to the Holy City, Cleveland, Tennessee, the weekend before last, now I guess it is, or was it last weekend? I can't remember. Sometime we were in Cleveland, Tennessee, with them and got to do the MIP commissioning service. And I think they said 652 graduates, I think. Is that right, Teresa? And over 550 were there that day. So huge movement in the Church of God. And that's a big deal because that's ministers that are coming up. And so can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and appreciation for that? So we're going to celebrate them this morning. But before we get started, Liz wants the mic this morning because she wants to talk to you about Vacation Bible School. That means ready for Vacation Bible School. We're starting early this year. We're going to do ours in June. So Liz is going to talk to you just a minute about VBS.
Okay, it will be held from June 22nd through the 26th, which is 5 days. Theme is Rainforest, so it should be a really good one. We're going to have a VBS meeting after we have the cake. So after you get your cake, if you want to come up here in the corner, we'll meet. If you're interested in helping out anyway with VBS, just let me know, because we always need volunteers for everything. There will be classes from nursery all the way up to adults. So if you want to bring your children and not drop them off, just stay and go to the adult class. Because we always have a different teacher every night. But it is a big endeavor. It takes a lot of work. And if we do shirts this year, we'll talk about that when we have the meeting. But I have to have the shirt order in by next Sunday. But anyway, see me if you're interested. Come up to the meeting. But there's always some place for you. And we have such a good time. The blessing. And we plant seeds in little hearts. And that's the most important thing.
Give Liz a hand clap of appreciation for always organizing that. And every year she says she can quit and we keep giving her a raise. I laugh because we don't pay her nothing. She just does it out of the goodness of her heart. But she does a really good job at that. And I tell you, if you've ever been around VBS here, it's a project. It's a thing. And so by Wednesday, everybody's going back through there going, two more nights, just hang on. So when you get 150 kids in one place, it becomes an interesting challenge. But it's exciting, and we love it. The more the kids, the merrier here for sure for us. So we appreciate them doing that. And just a few minutes, Dave's going to come and minister to us, but the youth are going to come at this time, and they're going to lead us this morning in worship. And so we want you to stand and get ready to worship the Lord with us this morning. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's maybe rained on your parade some, and things are supposed to rain for next 12 or 14 days or something, they said. So, but how many of you would hope that it would rain in here this morning? Amen. And so this is Pentecost Sunday, 50th day from Easter, if you will, and when we celebrate Pentecost and how the fire of God fell, and we know what happened on the day of Pentecost when it fell. Cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and it was a witness to everybody else in the room that the Holy Spirit had came and the birth of the church had taken place. And we want to celebrate that this morning with our worship. As soon as they're done, Dave's going to come and bring you the Word of God.
What you've done, how could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots that run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see you were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all my roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me. You spoke your truth into the lies. I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you made me new. Oh, the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. On the cross, in a grave, with a stone rolled away. All my debt, it was paid. Look what you've done. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my life. With my hands lifted high, I'm singing. Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look. This is the moment where everything turns. Didn't think I would see it, was hard to believe. Heaven crashes to earth. I've read the stories of all that you've done. Parted the sea.
that paid my way. Death is price when it flowed down from the cross. My sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried this precious blood that gave me life. In 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell
this precious blood that gave me life.
But in 3
Amen, amen. Give it up for them one more time. Those that are around the altar, please, you do not pay me attention. What I want to talk about today, we're talking about on this Pentecost Sunday, is the power. That there's something that birthed the church. That was prophesied by Joel. Acts 1 and 8 says that you would be endowed with power. Tell you, they built a church off of that power. Changed lives, changed everything that this world knows. And I'm glad today to be standing in that church today. We had the privilege last week, let me say this, before I take care of a little bit of business that the pastor forgot. Come on, I'm poking fun now. If I could have some ushers, come on up and help me just a minute. But we want to thank you this morning because you enabled us. And what we're going to talk about this morning, you and the Lord. Because it truly took not only my church family, but the Lord as well. For me and my wife to go to Tennessee last weekend and be commissioned in the Church of God. Because of your prayers and your love and your encouragement over this past year, it helped us to be able to have the courage and the fortitude to do that. But we're going to talk about something else today. It also took this, Teddy. It took the presence of God. That power of Pentecost for me to have in my heart and in my life something that I would say, I'm not just going to do the same old, and I'm not just going to make my way and just barely make it through. But I'm telling you today on this Pentecost Sunday that there was a power that I could have that says that you don't have to do it in a half-like fashion, or you don't have to just get by, but I'll rest on your life and I'll rest in your vessel and give you the power that it's going to take for you to do the job that it's going to take to have ministry in your heart and your life today. We're going to take up an offering so I can get it out of the way. I don't know what kind of ministerial school stuff. I thought I was over that stuff, but pastor keeps throwing me stuff at. Here, why don't you take up an offering before you preach? That's right. I don't know. This hard knock stuff. Y'all's quieting him. Y'all's killing me. But Joe, would you please stand this morning for us as we receive an offering and pray for our offering today. Joe, pray. Man, how many say it takes money?
I didn't hear it. I said it takes money. Let me give you an instance of it. If you doubt for 1 minute, you can out. If you think for 1 minute you can outgive God, you've lost your mind. I'm going to tell you just a little bit of story about what the presence of God, and let me tie it in with your money just a minute. I'll kick the ball off of that. Everyone here knows that we've lost our house. We lost it back in February. Lost everything we had. I've got 2 utility trailers and a ruler. That's all I've got. But as that come about, stuff, gifts and offerings started coming in. And we've got a notebook at the house. If you want to sit down and talk about it, we'll jerk the notebook out. Teresa works at the bookkeeping office. She's good at that stuff. But as those offerings and stuff start flooding in, I said, we have to keep track of this, and we have to give our tithes off of these offerings. So when I take up offerings and stuff nowadays, I can't help but be reminded of how the more that we brought in and the more checks we wrote, the more it kept coming in. And the bigger the offerings started getting. I said, God, where's it going to end? I'll tell you where it ended. About 8 tithe checks later. So if you ever doubt that what we're going to talk about this morning, having the presence of God in your life, as far as your finances go, I'm not talking about just finances you cannot give. An ounce of thought to what this world will tell you about the, how you can make it in yourself without the presence of God. You're going to have something in your life that's going to have to keep you rooted and grounded in faith. That power of Pentecost, you're going to have that, and it's going to have to be in your life. Young person, you can forget about being able to do it on your own. It is going to take something that is from the throne room of God. That plan that He has set forth, that Holy Spirit of God is going to have to rest on your heart and in your life. It will touch your finances. It will touch your marriage, your spiritual walk, everything about your life. Everything. It was great to see Him touch like that. We'd write a tithe check and I'd say, well, Glory, He's just being who He is, Paige. Well, Glory, I was told about this, that He would do that for me, and here it is, and let's write another tithe check. Just when I praised Him a little more and give Him a little more, guess what? She'd come back with an envelope that had more money. She said, we're going to have to write another tithe check. I said, well, praise God, cut the check and just keep it going. Hallelujah. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about having Him in your life. Having Him in your life this morning, hosting the presence of God. What kind of a host are you to the presence of God? What will you do? Where will you go? How deep will you try to be? How hard will you press into the presence of God? It costs work. It doesn't freely happen. God in all His majesty and His glory and those things that He has made available to us still expects an effort for you to be able to host the presence of God. Amen? Are you prepared for Him to come in that you can fully partake in the glory of God? That's an honest question. And that's an honest question. To have this Pentecost power in your heart and in your life, that thing that builds and is going to birth a church. Are you prepared to do that in your life? I don't expect it to get any louder in here, but you go right ahead and I'll just do it that much longer, okay? I like it. But what are you prepared to do to host the presence of God? Are you doing all you can do? Hosting His presence requires a few things. And there's a story in the Bible that I can plainly see the church today. And the things that happened in this room before the crucifixion of Jesus, the people that are in this room, the effort that was made in this room, items that are in this room, it all points toward the church today. That room, that dinner at Bethany, we see all these things. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. John chapter 12, this story listed in three Gospels. We will use John, but I will pull things from others. The Bible says, John 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment, made of pure nard, and anointed his feet in Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge over the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said this. He said, "Leave her alone. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. I don't have the best outline. I don't have all the notes I usually do. I usually got scriptures. I've usually got anywhere from 12 to 1,400 words during my outline. But I just do not have that today. I'll even go as far to tell you this. Monday, my mama took a turn for the worse. And they put her in her ICU on Monday. Tuesday, they come in and talk to us, and her condition had worsened. They even asked us if they wanted us to try and resuscitate her and put her on a ventilator. If that point come to that. At that time, I had talked to Pastor and told him the situation, and knowing this appointment was coming up this weekend, I said, "I just do not know, because I don't take this lightly. I believe if you can't do this and do it right and do it for the glory of God and do it with excellence, then you shouldn't do it. You should step back and let somebody else have that." And I did that. I asked him, I said, "Is there someone else that we can get this? Because I do not know what is going to go on this weekend. I do not know how bad this is going to get. I don't know where we'll be. I don't know what kind of shape we'll be in." All of that still took place this weekend, but I got up Thursday morning. And there was something about the Spirit of God. What I'm talking about this morning, there was something about that presence that was on the inside of me. It says, what you've been through, where you're going, that is where you're supposed to be at that time. Everything you've been through is for such a time as this. That's the sort of thing the presence of God does in your life, and only He can do. And I texted the pastor. I said, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, who ended up with Sunday? He said, Ted did. I texted Ted. I said, "I need that back, brother." And here I am. What makes those things? What makes you want to grab a hold of something so much? When there's other places you, in this world, in your mind and in your thought, in your manly thoughts, in your earthly, fleshly thoughts, says that you should be there. What is it about a person that says, "I've got to be here and I've got to be working for Him because He's carried me through too much, and I can't forget that and I won't forget that, and I've got to realize that the true source of who I am and who I'm ever going to be, No matter what bad may come within the next month or 2 months, I have to think further down the road, and there's a kingdom thing that I have to keep in mind. It's not just about me. It's not just about the people around me, but praise God, it is about a kingdom this morning. It is about a kingdom thing that was birthed from a power of Pentecost that I have to have in my heart and in my life and in my vessel. I have to have that within me. There is no other place that it can be and work. I can't trust Terry to have it and for him to carry us through. I can't trust these older saints to keep on having it. I can't trust these younger people that tomorrow, when I don't feel like putting in the effort to do what it takes to stay in the presence of God, I cannot expect them to carry me through, because it will not work like that. What they feel, I can't feel. What they want may be different than what I want. What they need is different than what I need. But I have to keep in mind that for me to be in the presence of God, it has to be a relational, public, and everything about it, in every realm of the imagination, it has to all be focused on Him. Your prayer life, church life, everything. We see that in this room. The first thing you see here is service. Martha was serving. But there's some great things about that. She was, number one, she was never condemned for serving. A lot of people like to bash her and talk about her and sometimes put a label on her. Oh, Martha shouldn't have been doing that. Should have known better. Martha was doing what was important. When I told you this morning that you can easily see the church in this room, you have to say that you see this church in that room as well. We have people serving. It's great. We don't know what to do with a nursery. We don't know how big that thing's going to have to be. And it's great. We love it. People serving that. People serving, doing what they can, what they have to, what the presence of God in their life tells them to do. Greeters greeting. Teachers teaching. Preachers preaching. Everybody knows that. Ushers taking up offerings. Everything that you do, there has to be a level of service. If there's not some level of service, the presence of God, you have to wonder if it is setting on that person's life. James warned us about that. You can't work and gain it. But you better have faith that says you're going to work for it. There has to be that in your heart and in your life. Number one that you notice in that room at Bethany was service. But Jesus warns her. Don't forget. Don't forget you have to spend time at my feet. And there's where his presence has to be. There. The second thing you notice is in Lazarus. Martha was serving. What was Lazarus doing? Simply said he. What do you see there? You see fellowship there. That's another thing you see in our blessed church here. We've got groups that they're blowing up. I don't know how many different groups we got. Like I say, we've been so busy. We don't know how to keep up with this thing and don't know where to go next. We've got good ideas, but we don't know for sure. We'll talk to you about it. You got any ideas? We'd like to hear them. But groups are taking off. Why? Because we're seeing that fellowship is important. Lazarus just needed to be close. It's never recorded that he said a word. I've just got to be close to him. Do you need to be close to him this morning? Do you have to be that person? I just want to be where he's at. And I want to be just close to him. When is the last time that you've actually said and actually been to a place where you said, I've just got to be close to Him? Have you ever said that? Because it's what it's going to take now. But thirdly, let's talk about this. We talked about service. We talked about fellowship. But we have to talk about worship. For this Pentecostal power to sit on us, for us to truly say that we're going to have the presence of God in our lives and in our hearts and in our actions and everything that we do, there's got to be a worship. There's got to be this thing that said it means everything to me. We've got to be like Mary. Spare no cost. You can't put a cost or a cost on His presence. You are unable to put a dollar figure on that. One of the greatest things I think about this story is simply this, that she had washed His feet with her hair. And it is mentioned that the glory of a woman is her hair. Let me say that somewhere. I have to give everything. My humility is His uplifting. My humility is His praise. And here's another thing that you have to see too. And one thing we've addressed here. And I think it's the reason we see such a crowd here on Memorial Day. She didn't care about the culture and what culture said that she should do and how she should act. She laid all that aside and said, He's worthy. This is my chance. This is one of the last chances that I'm ever going to have. And I'm going to give Him everything that He needs. And I'm going to minister to Him because He's doing everything for me. He is about to take the step to where He can go no further. He will be killed. He will be resurrected. But as far as Him being here with us, end is coming. He can't stay. Why can't He stay? People think, well, He should have just stayed here forever. He could not stay here forever because He had to make a way for the Holy Spirit to come because of the Pentecost power that we're talking about today, so that that presence can be now on the inside. Had to be something that's on the inside. It had to be like your relationships with everybody else. You've got to be able to feel it. Got to be able to sense it. You got to be able to talk about it. It has to be, in a way, tangible. You have to know that it is existent. Mary would give no thought to the cost of that. I'll revisit that in just a second. But you better believe that there'll always be a Judas around. They'll not understand extravagant worship. When you start listening to other people and letting them tell you how your worship should be and letting them judge and dictate you and try to steer you into what it's going to take for you to be in the presence of God, you're in trouble. There has to be a point in your life that says, I'm going to do what I think I should do and what I'm feeling drawn by the Spirit to do, because this presence and the importance of me having it in my life, I cannot have any restrictions. I have to be able to give it all I have. And there has to be a point in my life that says, I will do everything that it takes for His presence to sit on my life. Some churches say, we're going to build this, we're going to build that, we're going to build this. And they do it with that money thing, Joe. You may do it. But thank God you're in a church today that says this. We can build it with money and we can do all these things and make it nice, make it pretty, give it all the bell whistles. We can put all the tech stuff in, this and that and the other. But if the presence of God's not sitting in it, it's useless. It does not matter. If it's not about us helping you see your place that you should have the presence of God in your life, why bother? We'll put in the time. We'll spend the money. We'll do everything, not only for ourselves to house the presence of God, but so that the presence of God will be in this house and you will be a benefactor of it. But like I say, there's always a Judas. You have to see this. A thief. Talk some more about that in a minute when I'm closing. How is it that someone with that kind of worship had that attitude? I've thought about that. How is it when somebody is worshiping the Lord? How could they have that attitude and say those things? Have that thought process. It's an exact sample to show you what the enemy is out to do in your heart and in your life. I'm getting ready to close, but I've got to leave you with this. We talked about Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. Brandon's going to start me something to close. As far as the song goes, well, I want to leave you with this, and we're going to let you go. There was something about this story that just reached out and grabbed me. When we talk about the church in that room at Bethany, we see service and fellowship, worship. And we see this world in that room as well, and how they're talking negatively. Always be. It'll always be, Joe. But there was just something else about it that I couldn't shake. The Gospel of Mark said she got her flask, called a box in the old city, several other things. It was alabaster, right? It was a container for what? The oil. The more you think about it, what's representative of the oil? The Holy Spirit. The more I got to thinking about it. Out of all the church things that you see all these things. That flask was important too. Why? You're made from mud, Jack. Ladies, you're made from the rib. Guys, you was made from dirt. Why? Because the Creator formed and He breathed. That alabaster was the same. When it was first found, it had to be shaped. And it had to be made into that container. And it was polished and it was worked. There were things that had to be done to it so that it could be a container for what was to go inside. How was it made? There were several of them. You could say that they looked different. But here was the thing about it. Most of them, because of the expense of what was inside, they were made with a narrow neck. So that what was inside when it was getting ready to be poured out would pour slower. That's why we see in Mark 14 that Mary broke the flask. Some theologians would say it was this, that she just simply broke a seal on it. But I have read this with my spirit. But I believe when she broke that flask, what she was doing, she was breaking the narrow end off the container so there would be no restrictions when she poured the oil out on him. That flask, the container, the oil, the Holy Spirit. That's you today. What is up to you is, will you break the narrow neck off of the flask? Because here it is. If you noticed it, here it is. Jesus told Mary, he was telling the room, she's not going to have me long. She's not going to have me long, but these poor folk, you're always going to have them. It says to me, my Lord, it's time for us to be filled. To realize that we're that flask, and it's time to break that neck, because we are now the ones to pour that oil out on the world. It's not just for you and I, it's for everybody. Stand with me if you would. If you're in this house this morning, and I hope and I pray that something I've said has landed on your heart. I hope and I pray that you desire to be the flask that I just ended with. Made by God. Shaped, formed. There's something about the material it's made with too. It would hold the oil until it was actual time. I'm telling you this morning, it is time for you and I to be the oil for this world. Not only for us, but for your neighbor, for your community, for the world. I believe it is time right now that we break the neck off of our container and prepare ourselves and empty ourselves, pour ourselves all out for the world. The power of Pentecost was not made for me to hold on and not share. If you're in this house this morning, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you want to come, come on and say, I've got to have a better attitude myself. To say that I want the presence of God more in my life. I want to make myself a host for the presence of God more than I ever have. Is there anyone in the house this morning that says, I simply don't know him? Somebody that says, I'm not even worthy to be in the same room with him. Oh, he's waiting. Come. Maybe there's a commitment thing. There's got to be a commitment thing. You got to say, I'll do anything it takes. Because you learn something else from that room. You learn proximity is not relativity. Just because you're close, just because you're sitting in a church, that does not save you. Just because you're in the church, you're filling a void that this mankind, this earth, this flesh says, hey, they went to church. Big deal. I don't want you just coming to church. I want the presence of God in your heart, in your life. That's the difference. Word spoken, but still you don't listen. Nights long, yet there's no rest. Today is the day you should choose Today's the day. Because the time of reasoning is almost over. Make your choice. Make your choice. Will you have my presence, or will you not? Those are the only two. Church, raise your hands this morning. Church, raise your hands this morning. Make the choice this morning.
Interpretation. I think the call is that your time's now. Whatever it is,